Yeah, this is the second day of our conference. The Lord did us good yesterday with teachings. I enjoyed most the last session. The spiritual life of a pastor. And it was very well expounded by our brother, Elder Dave. That was that. That's it. Just to remind you, in case you forget in a dream, he said that a person needs to have a life that pleases God. Needs to be spiritual. By being prayerful. Unfortunately, we did not have Q&A. I wanted to ask a question myself. How do people pray biblically? Yeah, because you can be praying every time, seven times a day, but you pray outside scripture. You don't pray biblically. Okay, what do I mean by not praying biblically? By vain repetition, using vain repetition. By bringing sentences and expressions that are breaking doctrines of scripture. Let me give you an example quickly. You are praying and you are like, "Oh Lord, we thank you. You are God, Lord. I remember what my pastor Irene told me last Sunday." Your pastor Irene? Which Bible says that Irene can be a pastor? So you are not praying biblically. Even if you follow the address from our dear brother, you need to be praying every time, but you need also to pray biblically. I remember, Lord, when you took Satan, you shook him and you kicked him and he fell there. Oh. Yeah, because you sing them in these meaningless choruses. Ah, yes, we are. Kwata ka Satan. Naka nyenya nyenya. That's nowhere in scripture. Nowhere at all. So you need to maybe if you get some time for Q&A, you can even bring some of the questions from yesterday's sessions. Yeah, sure, really, I was really salivating to try to see what is, how do people pray biblically. Let's pray as we begin this session. Our glorious risen King, we thank you that you kept us throughout the night, and by your grace, you allowed us to see this brand new day that has been unveiled before us. We are and will forever be grateful for what you did at Calvary's cross, when you gave your life for us. This is our second day of the conference. Lord, you are doing us good so far. We thank you for everything that you did yesterday with us, the great teachings and the great fellowship with our dear brothers. These are our true brothers, not even that one that my mother produced with me who does not know you. These are my true brothers. Oh Lord, bless us together even as we continue receiving together from you through scripture, and as we continue enjoying our fellowship together. Be with us again, Lord, and let your spirit use us to teach us your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, so today's first session. You know, is something a bit okay. It's raising from the last session of yesterday. Because many pastors know that they need to be spiritual. All of us here know that. And being spiritual is exactly what our brother told us yesterday. You need to be prayerful. Brother even quoted powerful men of God here yesterday. I was glad. I was edified. Even how the wife of Dr. Lloyd John testified about the life of her husband, how he could pray without ceasing. We also added about something about family devotion. You need to be gathering your wife and children if you already have children. Pray together. Teach them the word. Yeah, and some other things that you need to do to look spiritual, to be spiritual. But this morning I want to address something that even if you do all those, it will be equal to zero. And many pastors don't put attention to this. They put much attention to what Elder Dave taught us the last session of yesterday, to be spiritual, to look spiritual, to appear spiritual before men, before your neighbors and relatives. We are talking about the daily life of a pastor. This, leave the things of spirituality aside. Just your daily life. Your every minute and second as you live. The way we conduct that life matters a lot. Pastors, like some other Christians, tend also to appear more holy at church on Sunday and during some religious activities like time of prayer, evangelism. So in those times, everyone appears holy. In other words, pastors tend to live holy lives on particular hours, on particular days. In this session, we are going to learn about the daily life of a pastor according to Scripture. How should each and every hour, day, week, month, and year of a pastor be like? Because our last session yesterday was dealing with your private life, sort of. Because if I have a prayer room at my home, who knows here? No one. And when I enter that prayer room to pray, to talk to my God, who knows? Sometimes I can even go there and my wife does not know. So we are leaving that, your private life with God, we are leaving it aside. We want to look at this book that is open to everyone to see. Your daily life. This is the question we are going to try to answer here. How can you live? Living and working for God as a pastor calls for a different lifestyle. Your life with God is not limited to the inner room. That it does not end there. But it should express itself in the practical realities of everyday existence. Yeah, when you enter your closet, you talk with your God. When you say Amen, your spiritual life ends there. When you get out of the door of your prayer room, it is you, Richard. They're calling at your son. Who put this here? Remove it here. Come in. So that's what I want to address now. All that you do in your turn to appear, read the Bible, as Brother Dave told you, advised you yesterday. Go through it, through the whole Bible, even 5 times a year. How you live outside with your neighbors, relatives, pagans, matters a lot. What people hear and see of you shows them what matters most to you deep down inside you. And you can be sure that your church members, your children, wife, neighbors, relatives, etc., etc., keep an eye on you daily. And you hear people say, all over the world maybe, that the children of pastors normally run mad with the world. And even myself, I grew up believing that there are demons, attacks from the enemy. I can't rule that out at all. It is part of the truth. You guys are God's mouthpiece, as Brother David told us. You are on the forefront. And the army of Christ is following you to attack the army of the devil. Obviously, you have to be targeted more. That is true. You, your wife, your children will be targeted more than other church. Brother, first wait. Remember, even Pastor Kalifunga told you, when he pauses, then you, so that we keep order. So you have to be targeted more. But it's not only that. It's just like we put much attention on our spiritual life and forget about this daily life. That's how, again, when your children run mad, they go with the world. You only put your attention to Satan. You forget other areas. In many cases, you have a big hand. But hey, sometimes you can even find that Satan is not even there. And who told you that every bad thing comes from Satan? It's not my Bible. The way you live your daily life with them, the children will either want to follow your God or not. You are the one who proclaims the word of God and teaches people how to live to God's honor. Mm-hmm. it's logical that they look at you to see how you practice what you teach. Let's check what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 up to 3. Yeah, we can continue down up to. Let's read the whole chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let us first leave it there. So, Paul said, even if I speak in tongues of men and angels, I can add, even if you are or become a pastor, even if your church seem to be booming, even if you joined any Bible college or seminary, become a doctor, let people start calling you doctor. The list continues. If there's no love, you are building on sand. Let's again go to and check 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. The Bible says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Other versions say, keep a close watch on your life and doctrine. Many times, especially we Reformed believers, we put much emphasis on doctrine and doctrine alone. You see, those ones, are heretics. Oh, they don't follow the Bible. We follow scripture. It is true. But check what Paul is telling his spiritual son Timothy. To keep a close watch on his life and doctrine, both. I'm not on doctrine. Today I'm just going to concentrate on life, daily life. In this letter, Paul talks about being an example to your congregation as a pastor. God's great desire is for the stamp of Christ to become more and more visible in our daily lives. When that happens, people will see it automatically. You will not need to inform them. When the stamp of Christ is put into you, people automatically see it and they will long for it themselves. And that's why I don't want anything to help people out there know that I'm a Christian or a believer. My prayer is that my daily life should do that. Some people, because they are pastors and want people to know they are pastors, they walk with the Bible everywhere. It's not bad. Get me well. It's not bad. With the Bible, with the cola, with the chikanzu. It's not bad. It's not written anywhere in scripture that you should not do this, put that on. No. But let us concentrate more on our daily lives. All those other things that you carry or you wear so that people know that you serve him are equal to zero if your daily life represents the devil. When they see Christ in your daily life, remember again, they don't see you when you are praying in your room. That's your private life with your God. So you mind more about that, you ignore this big book that everyone sees. Keep a close look at your life. Yeah, that's what faithful pastors must do. Now, what does that mean? How can you do that? You know, we are frail people. We are weak people. Don't think that because we stand in front of here teaching you this, so we are perfect in all these things we tell you. No, we need to speak the truth in love. Sometimes we also struggle here, we struggle there. But once you know that this is my weakness, once you know your enemy, that's the first step for you defeating him. So this is my weakness. You see what I've just corrected my brother with? It's my weakness. The members of RBC can testify. I normally don't like interpretation myself. Sometimes I get overwhelmed with my God and I just talk. And I really forget that there is a brother interpreting me. Yeah, so don't be surprised if I also enter before he puts a full stop. Just the way I don't want him to speak before I put a full stop. We are human beings. But what I'm saying is, know your enemies. Know your weaknesses. That will help you to start reporting these weaknesses to the Lord in prayer. But when you live anyhow without knowing that this is a weakness, that's a big problem already. Pastor's twofold task is. Pastor's twofold task is to watch your life and doctrine closely, diligently. You have to pay equal attention to both. Life and doctrine are different but inseparable. Yes. You can. They are like two sides of one coin. You can't avoid one side and you say, I have money. You cannot watch your life accurately unless you understand sound doctrine. I always tell my weaknesses, I tell them to my wife, to my children. I tell them. In Africa, we have that attitude of saying, Musaja tasovia. Okay, men do not wrong. A father cannot repent or apologize to his child. At least according to my culture from Kasese, the Wakonzo culture. But I know, I've done my research, many African cultures. You feel it heavy to go and tell your son or your daughter, forgive me, I'm sorry, I insulted you, I beat you for no reason, forgive me. But that's our daily life. And I'm not telling you that you'll be perfect after this conference. No, you'll continue doing those mistakes. But once you know them, immediately be shame them. I have a weakness of when I have rules at my home, so I say, I don't want my children outside home at night. And so when I come from somewhere, maybe I went to pick a visitor from anywhere, and then we reach home around 7:30. One child is not there. Yeah, because one thing is when I enter my home, where's mommy? And I want to make sure all my 6 children are there. When one is not there, where is he? We don't know, we don't know, we don't know. I go to mom. Where is this one? I don't know. Hey, even you! Just, there already one of my rules is broken, has been broken. Yeah, so you need to know how to balance love and seriousness and justice. So you need to love them, but you need also to be just so that they respect your rules. You are their father. But now when the bell rings, my impatience wants to come and rule. I want to be the one to go and open the gate. And when I open it, where are you coming from at this time? Where are you? So I'm giving you my very own examples to show you that, friends, we all struggle. But once you know that, no, this is my weakness, work on it. And one day, my daughter told me, Dad, you can't even wait for me to enter, sit down, and then you ask me slowly, and I explain. Oh, you are right. Forgive me. I'm sorry. And since then, since that day, whenever that enemy wants to take over, I can even go and open the gate. I remember what my daughter, okay, you're welcome. Your daily life matters. So I said you cannot watch your life accurately unless you understand sound doctrine. While on the other side, it does you no good to continue studying sound doctrine unless you also apply it in your own life. What will be the importance of all these doctrines that you are pumping your head with if you don't leave it out? What will be the importance of you going into your closet 7 times a day to pray? You do good study of the Bible, as our brother helped us yesterday. But the study of the Bible you do every day is not seen in you. Thus, we must not put more attention at one thing and neglect the other. We must give full and uncompromised attention to both. Now, in our previous conferences, we already learned something about sound doctrine. Yeah, that's why now I don't want to concert, to go more, to speak more on sound doctrine. I want to be more on this other side of daily life. Watch closely your daily life. Okay, this one will come on the pitfalls of a pastor. Yeah, but they intermingle, so sometimes I cannot speak about them. Sorry, brother, I can speak about them and then I'll expound them more, maybe. We tend to make our lives too busy for nothing. So for people to know that you are a powerful man of God, you need to be too busy. To the point that you neglect your own family. You neglect your own neighborhood. People in your area complain of that pastor who was never buried. People die in the community, you are never there because you are a powerful pastor. Very busy. When your neighbors die, lose relatives and children and friends, and you are not there, which gospel are you sending to them? Even if they are Muslims, even if they are pagans without any religion, they fall sick, you don't care. I was passing one time, I was coming to church here on a Friday. I found many people on the road there. I normally want to know what's going on. And I asked, well, what's wrong here? Many people in the crowd quarreling. No. There is a pastor here who's quarreling with someone at the market there. In your area, you are the one to quarrel with that neighbor and with that one because of boundaries of your plots and what. Keep watch, a close watch of your daily life. In your area, no one speaks well of you. And then time comes, time for evangelism at your church. They say, okay, let us go and do it in the pastor's area, community. So two, you start going to this, and now pastor is also going. You go to who? Why don't we want to put scripture at practice? In practice, sorry. They come and inform you, say, pastor, the neighbor is dead here, or has lost someone. We are going to bury tomorrow. Wanted to know whether you come, so that we put you on the list. Oh, I'll be going, but tomorrow my friend invited me to a party. Friends, what does the Bible tell us? You need to first go to the house of mourning. Leave that party. Make a call. I'm sorry, brother, mother, father. I was to come, but really my immediate neighbors lost a child. I cannot come to entertain myself when my neighbors are mourning. Mourn with those who mourn. Celebrate with those who are celebrating. But priority goes to mourning. Do you greet your neighbors? I know you are a powerful man of God, full of anointing. They should be the ones to start. So when a neighbor is coming like this, you are going like this. You look at them and you are waiting for them to start. Good morning, pastor. Yeah, because of those ABT, those titles that you like. How can I start? Also, in African setting, okay, in my culture, I can't start greeting my own child in the morning. No, they should. Good morning, daddy. Oh, good morning. How are you? No, remember when you get saved, you get or you are given a totally new culture. New family, new ways of living. Start live. Okay, let me tell you, culture is not bad at all. Culture is read your Bible, you find culture here, families. But culture is not biblical doctrine. Biblical doctrine is a piece of beef that you need to put there, chew the whole of it, and swallow the whole of it. But your culture is fish. If you want to eat fish, the whole of it, the way you ate that beef yesterday, you will die and will bury you. With the fish, you get flesh, you eat, and the thorns or bones or whatever, you throw them. That's what you do with your cultures. The evil parts or bad parts of your culture, leave them with your dad who is not a born again. Leave them with them. Tell them, no, I'm a Christian. I'm a born again. The good parts of your culture, go with them. Don't allow anyone to ask you to stop them. Don't. Greet your children. Show them love. As pastors, our lives can be filled with reading, studying, sermon preparations, sermon proclamation, counseling, etc. And these things occupy our mind and time and everything. We don't mind other areas. How many pastors go for a mission for 2 months and they leave their wives and children? That's not biblical. It's not. You are not supposed to leave your family for a long period of time. You are the king of that family. You are the head of that family. 2 months you are away. Do you know what's going on there? No, you start quoting scripture, wrongly scripture to your wife. I'd rather obey God than man. When I was beginning my bachelor's in theology program, they asked us this question. And again, all of us failed. The lecturer asked us, between ministry and family, what comes first? All of us, by then we were powerful men of God. It's like, ministry! Ministry! Church! Who told you that you put church affairs before your family? Auntie, church, this is God. Family, who told you? The example of the local church is family. You fail to rule well there. You can't not rule here. In the Garden of Eden, which church was there near Adam and Eve? Redeemed Church or Reconciliation Baptist Church? Which one? None. But the family was there. Before the church was there. Obviously the church is a group of 2 or 3, eh? Adam and Eve plus God, yes. But I'm speaking just practically what you can see, okay? Because RBC, you see, oh, that is RBC there. Family first. I'm not again telling you that you'll ignore church affairs because of family. No! Balance! Let us not make our lives too busy for nothing. Sometimes you find some with big, big bags full of books and Bibles, always carrying it. And then you start being tempted, asking a member of church or a sister or a brother to be carrying it for you. If you drive, or if you drive in the future, do you mind pedestrians? Our Uganda, our capital city, Kampala, is chaotic. So disorderly. These brothers that I picked from the airport on Monday, they when we reached just somewhere, they asked me, you don't have traffic lights here? I said, no, they are in the city center. They are supposed to be everywhere. Because we are driven the distance without seeing any. So you reach a junction, sometimes everyone is fighting for his own. Someone wants to pass one, so you find you block yourselves there. How do you behave as a pastor? Obuntu buto noto no obo. Yes, tubu nyoma na enga wa mugaso nyo. They are very important, even if they are small. You don't know that people know that you are a pastor. I was about to pass Kabusu there. I was going to town. Obviously, as a pastor, this work we have is very, very hard. Do you know that if you went and your friend taught you how to drive, and yes, you learn well, and then you buy your own car, start driving, that it is sin if he did not teach you the code of the roads, to know that when I reach here, that one has the right of way, and then I can go. Because as a pastor, you need to be smart in all those areas. As I was coming from down here, that is the main. Obviously, you have to leave those who are on the main to pass first. We don't have traffic lights there to say, no, no, it's now your turn. So, as I was entering, and the other guy was coming from Chibuye to Natete, we almost knocked each other. Then we, all of us, had to break, only to hear, Pastor Bill. I look at the person, I don't know him at all, at all. I went saying, my God, help us. Daily life of a pastor. Now, there it is just on the road. It's not your closet. It's not your prayer room. Now, let's check verse 12 of 1 Timothy where we've been. 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Five areas where you need to we need to set an example to others, anyone else. You need to be exemplary in speech. What comes out of your mouth from the time you wake up to the time you're going to sleep, is it good? Some pastors even use abusive words. But they, okay, those years when this church was not yet really the way it is now. Yeah, you know, we invited a preacher, a friend, and he was preaching on the pulpit and he was speaking very, very heavy words. One day I was preaching the gospel to my neighbor, and he started asking me vain questions. I looked at him and I said, look at this pig. Preaching. Check what comes out of your mouth. You need to set an example in speech. May the Lord forgive all of us here. We've ever spoken things to our children, to our wives, to our neighbors that really do not matter. Yeah, sometimes it depends on how we are also raised. We are raised by non-Christian parents. So now, the words they used to tell us when we make a mistake, okay, they entered us. So, like me, for example, it was whenever you make a mistake, when I was young at home, why have you done this like this? It's stupid. And you know, it enters you, and you sometimes you tend forgetting that you are born again. Why are you stupid? You need to be an example in speech. Toina Magezi. Yeah, you might think that Toina Magezi is Sichivumo. It's an insult, a big one. Let us check. Before we speak, let us check our words. In speech, in conduct. Yeah, conduct, I've given you many examples. Dressing is part of conduct. Everything you do as a minister speaks about you. Anything. Anything. The fashion of hair that they cut in the saloon. This is Africa. We are not in America where I found reformed brothers with tattoos everywhere. Then I was like, obviously, if they put them there before they knew Christ, and now you cannot remove it, no problem. They are true brothers with them. True brothers. But if, after knowing this truth, you call yourself a reformed brother, but still, in there, saying, I feel like I need to get the tattoos here. Me, as an African, it's a big problem. A serious one. To me, personally, I'm not speaking, it's a serious problem. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. So now, the way you dress, the way you walk, I see many of these powerful men, so-called powerful men of God in Uganda, because they got some money through conning, even the way they walk has changed. I'm speaking out of experience. I'm just trying to avoid saying what I've never seen here. That would be sick. The hands go like that, reach there. And people in your area say, no, yeah, that pastor is proud. Why don't you just walk normally, just like any other person? The way you greet people has changed because now you left Nalumunye, you are now in a Karina at Nalukolongo, your church has gone some kind of step. Sometimes when they greet you, yes. The daily life of a pastor. You should be the most social. You should be the most humble. You should be the one to begin greeting them before they do.
Good morning, neighbor.
How are the children? Okay. Even as we are here. I don't know. You might be there, but I don't know. How many people who are not part of us here? Just because this is a place of business. People are doing business. How many I view approach and say, Django to here, come, line up and we share food. They are not part of us. No. So, okay, our people, line up here. Let us get food. Go to them. You are the light of the world. Go to them. My friends are there. They are from Mombasa, Kenyans. So friends, let's go and eat. And I know that they are Muslims. I know it very well. And this is Ramadan. But show them love. Can you even get a plate and ask them if they feel shy? Take them some food. The daily life of a pastor. In the taxi. In the bus. You are going somewhere. Do you behave also like any other Ugandan? Don't you know that you are more than any other Ugandan? You are a citizen of heaven. You represent Christ here. You are going to Mbarara, Kabale, Wishenyi, where? They stop somewhere there. Hey, Kasoni, maize, how much? Okay, give me that and that and that. And Menvu, bananas, yellow, and you start in the bus, it's no problem. Then you finish. No, pastors. No. on our good roads, you get those peelings of bananas, you also throw like any other Uganda. If you kept them in that cavera, that policing bag they gave to you, so that you will throw them somewhere when you arrive, can you die? If we've been doing that, let us stop it. It's not good at all. You are driving, or even if someone is driving you, and you reach the traffic police stops you, and then you start. You have to fasten the belt. You break the laws of the country. Because remember, even if no one stops you, but if you leave your home to town and back without fastening the belt, it is sin. We don't fasten those belts for the sake of accidents. Yes, that's there. But I'm saying fast. But number one, it's not that. Me personally. Or the police to stop me and I give. No, it's for my Christ first. I know that KCCA and the police of Uganda say every driver should fasten their belt. Fasten it. For the sake of Christ. You drive without a driving license. And you hear a pastor saying, "Ah, no, I've been maneuvering this for 2 years now. I know how to do it." It's okay. They've never arrested you, but you are breaking the laws of it. The daily life of a pastor. Even if I speak with the tongues of angels and men, if I don't have love, I am nothing. Can you first put your being born again aside and just live equally with any neighbor, whether Muslim or whatever, just love them as you can love any neighbor. But the gospel begins, I mean, the foundation of sharing the gospel begins with friendship. Befriend someone. And then you slowly start introducing Christ. But our lives themselves, without words, are enough gospel. Can we allow our lives to preach Christ? Yeah. Obviously, you might be a reserved or a quiet man. And some of your neighbors, because of that, they say you are proud. Yeah, so, okay, that's how God made you. That's why. So try to make sure you prove to them that you are not proud the way they think. Let one tell you one day. I used to think that you are proud. You are not. You're just a simple man. The daily life of a pastor. How many debts do we have? Some of us are very hard at paying debts. How many debts do we have? With all those debts, every Sunday we stand on the pulpit and get the Holy Book of God and we shout here with this spitting saliva. Even as you sit there where you are, just let your inner man travel up to your neighborhood. Look at them. Look at those people. Are you clean with all of them? You are the one with many enemies in your community. Inside your church, the same story. People try to avoid you. It's a lot. But I find that both are equally important. The spiritual life of a pastor and the daily life of a pastor. I said, you cannot live for Christ daily if you don't know sound doctrine. Because it is sound doctrine that helps you know that, no, this is bad, this is good, this is bad, this is good. That's why Paul says, keep a close watch on your life and doctrine. Persist in them. These two. Because by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Many times when we come to preach here, we do it because we want our hearers to be saved, forgetting that we also need to be saved. By checking closely your daily life and doctrine, check even the order, you will save not both your hearers and you, both you. It begins with you. Don't be a pastor who tells his congregation, do what I tell you, don't do what I do. Don't. And brother, again, Dave talked about it here. Can you really tell people what Paul said? Follow me as I follow Christ. If you told them to follow you, you want them also to be late comers at church? Yeah. You grew up in that system. You know that the big man does not reach at the same time with the common people. We are learning them from the political leadership and other world leadership. Where have you ever seen President Museveni, President Kagame, or any president arrive at the function first? The subjects have to come first so that when he's entering, the crowd is already there to clap for them and stand up. That's the system we are bringing into church. Oh, well, your wife can tell you, let's go. No, we begin at 10 and it is still 10 o'clock. Let us wait a bit. No. That's not. If you agree to be beginning at 10, you arrive at 2 minutes past 10, that is sin. You need to repent. Because you agreed on that. And God is witness. May the Lord help us. I cannot finish everything, but you need to be an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity. How you relate with the opposite sex, both at church and outside church. How you behave during your weekly counseling sessions. A pastor who wears balance I don't know how you can be an example. In Uganda, we call it balance. I don't, in other countries, I don't know. The trouser is down here. The trouser is down here. It is hanging. What you allow the ladies of your church to wear? You allow them to come naked into church because of fashion. The world is advancing, so you allow them to come with back show inside the church. Back show, kakoma wano, it stops here. The whole of that part is naked. Kakwata just amabere, it just covers the breasts. All this part is naked. A Christian cannot wear like that. Cannot. That's nakedness. That's nakedness. Kundi show. It should begin with us. Amen. Father, we want to say thank you for this conference. Thank you for having saved our lives. Thank you for the treasure of the Bible, scripture, where we get all these things from. Thank you for my brothers you brought that so that we discuss and help one another with these words. Help us. It's not easy, Lord. Even as I'm speaking this, I know, Lord, how we do struggle in our daily lives, how we relate with our neighbors, our children, our wives, our friends, everyone, Lord, even at church, our church member. Some call us proud. Others say we are arrogant, lack of faith, fearful people, and yet we need to live as an example to them. Help us concentrate or focus more on preaching the gospel with our lives rather than with our words, or with our lives first and then our words will follow. We always share the gospel with our tongues. We go to neighbors and tell them about Jesus, and yet only yesterday our conduct did something wrong to them. Lord, help us. It's your spirit alone that can be reminding us of all these things whenever we go astray. He is the only one to tell us, to remind us that no, here you have not done well. Here you have not spoken well. And Lord, we should be ready to go down and say sorry to anyone we wrong. Even if they are our 2-year-old child, we should tell them, I'm sorry. Let them learn from us to apologize. Our wives in Africa, we tend to despise them. How can I say sorry to my wife? Lord, we are new creatures in you. Teach us and help us. It's when we go through these teachings, when we realize that the task of being a pastor is just too heavy for us, to the point that we cannot manage without you, O Holy Spirit of Christ. If only you don't help us, we cannot. It's a very, very hard burden for us. But Lord, you give us strength through your Spirit. Continue helping us, Lord. There are many things, examples that I would like to bring up so that we help one another and we stop doing them, Lord. Littering our city, littering our places where we live, Lord. All those break the law of the country. Help us. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.